In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I long for my life to have meaning and to have purpose, and I'm pretty sure you're probably the same. You long for your life to have meaning. You long for it to have purpose. When you die, you don't want to all of this to just have been in vain. You don't want to be a fool who wasted your life. And so, as a result of that desire that's within us, don't we often, when we see someone young die, don't we often get angry at God? We even bitterly mutter about what a shame it was that they died so young. And I think one of the reasons behind that kind of a response is that we believe that they haven't yet done anything with their life, and therefore their life was meaningless. It was almost as though their life was purposeless. But ponder that. Is it really so that anyone's life, no matter how short, that their life is meaningless? That life itself is meaningless unless you can do something good with your life? Never. Never, never, never. God our Father is life Himself. He is meaning. Life and love are meaning in this universe. And so the coming of life into the world always has meaning because it always changes people, doesn't it? A girl becomes a mother when a child is born. That changes her. She has been changed. A boy becomes a father when a child is born to him. They are changed. Their lives are given purpose and meaning by the coming of life into their lives. For God Himself is life. He is the source of all things. He's the one who calls all things into being, and He's the one who therefore gives all meaning and all purpose to everything on earth. And God is not just life, He is also love. And so love is our purpose. We are here to lovingly serve each other, to pour ourselves out for each other in love. And even the life cut short changes those around it. Even the tragedy of death gives opportunities to love and to support each other. Especially in the midst of death, that's when we have to love each other and support each other. That's when our love is tested to see if it is truly love or not. But of course, we long for meaning and purpose. And in our twisted hearts, more often than not, that means that we crave for things like power or importance or recognition or fame or the adulation of the masses or just someone to know that I exist. And those are things that we have to repent of. Those are the things that Israel wanted. And in their sinful desire, they always misunderstood God's intent and God's promises. And so do you and I. God says, you shall dwell securely. And we think that that must mean that we will have such mighty armies in our country that no one will ever dare attack us. But what God really means when He says you'll dwell securely is that someday He will bring all hostility on earth to an end, so that there will be true and lasting peace. But we, just like Israel, will exchange His promise of peace for fame, for importance here and now, for some little scrap of affection right now from someone who will end up using us, rather than seeking and waiting for that eternal love of the Father who made us. And our quest for meaning is really a search for the Father's love for us. But even that search that God places into us, even that desire, our sin twists that so that we settle for some sort of short-term placebo rather than the real thing. Repent. For our Father prophesied this eternal peace would come through His King, whom He would send to us. And His King has come, Jesus our Savior, our Lord. He has brought peace to earth. Now, it's not a complete peace, is it? It's not a complete peace from all war and bloodshed. That complete peace is yet to come when our Lord comes again the second time. But in the here and the now, He has brought a more important peace into your life and into the world. He's brought peace with God to us. And that true peace, that lasting peace from all hostility, it comes from the inside out. It has to start inside of us. And that lasting peace that we wait for, that we long for when Jesus comes again, is built on the foundation of peace with God in our conscience and in our being. For God the Father has sent His King, and He has conquered the cause of war, which is sin. He's conquered sin by putting all sin on that King, by humbling that King, by sending Him to die, by sending that King to be a beast of burden, someone who was ferried to His death, to the cross, not by a kingly warhorse, but by a donkey, an ass, an animal without honor or glory, whose purpose is simply to carry burdens. That's our King. He's a burden-bearing King. He's not proud. He's not mighty. He's lowly and gentle. He takes on your burden. He takes on your sin. And truly, He was a King to be worshipped. And the crowds on that Palm Sunday in faith, they recognized that. But for the time for triumph was not yet. It wasn't that day. The day for a great parade was not yet, because He hadn't fought His battle yet, had He? He'd not yet defeated Satan by disarming him of all the sins that Satan loves to throw in your faces. He'd not yet torn up the record book and the accusations against us by paying for them with His own lifeblood. And so the time for the triumph of Easter had not yet come. And so Jesus came lowly. He came gently to sinners, to His own, to us. He came to take our sin from us. He came to unburden us as He carried our sins, our burdens, to the cross. And this is why our King came. This is what Christmas means. It's not just a joyous birth. It's not just a celebration of a pretty baby. It's the coming of the burden bearer, one who loves you so completely that He pours out His life for you, one whose purpose is to serve you by taking your burdens, to carry such a torch for you that He must do all in His power to have you as His own, to take your burden of sin and suffering all the way to the cross, and to love you till the very end, to give your life meaning, to give your life purpose by His coming into your life. Because you have received life, because you have been loved in such a way that He cut His own life short for you. And His life changes your life. It gives your life meaning and purpose so that your life is no longer lived for your sinful desires to gratify them. For though you have searched for it, there is no meaning in gratifying those sinful desires. We've all tried it, and we've all found how empty that is. There's only emptiness, there's only death in that. But in the death of your burden bearer, in His life, your life has meaning. It has purpose, for you have been loved by the Almighty. And so now your life is a life laid down in honor of the One who bore your burdens to the cross. And so this Advent, cast off those burdens by casting your burden onto the burden-bearing King. Don't live in the guilt and shame. Don't wear that as a cloak. Put it on that one who carries it to the cross. Cast those burdens on Christ. Lay them down at His feet, or better yet, place them on Him so He Himself can carry them, recognizing that He has already taken them to the cross. Cast off your soiled rags of sin and instead be clothed in the armor of light that He gave you in your baptism. And this is why our King came the first time. And it's why He shall come again, this time in glory, this time in triumph, to bring to complete fulfillment that peace which He has won on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace which passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.